It is our time of the week that which we talk with 12th District State Center and future Who's in the News answer. So put that one in your book for some time in the future. Brad Hawkins, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin and Kaylee. Good to be with you.
So yesterday was an interesting day because the revenue forecast came out from the Office of Financial Management and it showed some really positive news. I was wondering if you could kind of talk a little bit about your takeaways from that revenue forecast and what you think it means for the future of the session.
Yeah, very positive news. You know, the state forecasts its revenue on a quarterly basis. And so just a few months ago, we received the most recent revenue forecast, but then just yesterday they updated it and it was very positive. So what it shows is our state continues to actually do pretty well and to continue to grow the economy despite the pandemic and despite many of the economic restrictions. And so, and this isn't even getting into some of the governor's reopening efforts now because this was factored in as a look back, but it shows that for the current 2-year budget that we're still in until June 30th of this year, we are expecting an extra $3.3 billion of revenue beyond what was projected. And so we have a $54 billion 2-year budget. So an extra $3.5 billion of revenue is very significant. And then also it kind of looks ahead towards the next 4-year cycle, which the state budgets on a 2-year basis, but we do have what's called a 4-year outlook as we balance our budget. And that shows for the next 4 years, an extra $5.2 billion of revenue. So we have a great situation, really, despite all that's gone on. And as we continue to have our economic recovery, I think things will only improve. So we have improved state revenue. We have this influx of federal dollars coming in from multiple stimulus packages. And then we still have a $2 billion healthy budget stabilization account in our state, which most people know as the rainy day fund. So we're actually doing pretty well, and it's very good news.
And what do you think that means as you guys move forward with the session when you deal with things like budgets and capital gains and all that sort of that conversation?
Well, I think it really exposes the argument for why we need new revenue. I mean, many of us, including me, have been saying that all along, even without the federal stimulus dollars coming in and without any additional revenue. Basically, what I was saying was, let's use the budget stabilization account to backfill any shortfall, and then let's make some modest adjustments to the budget to balance it. Well, I don't even think we have to make any downsized adjustments to the budget. We might not even have to utilize the rainy day fund much either with all this revenue. So, you know, my argument with that capital gains income tax is it wasn't a reform. They weren't implementing it and then correspondingly reducing the regressive sales taxes and other taxes in our state. They're just adding a new tax. And adding a new tax when we really didn't need the revenue. And I think with all this good news, plus the federal dollars that are coming in, I think it just totally undercuts that argument. But again, whether it's a political process and whether it's enough to derail the capital gains tax, which is now in the House, it received a hearing on March 15th before the House Finance Committee. So it's positioned to move out of that committee into the House floor. And I think the tax advocates in the state really see a window of opportunity when the majorities in the House and the Senate support this tax and the governor's eager to sign it and the state Supreme Court is very tax friendly. So they really see this window of opportunity. And by the way, Kevin, one of the speculations about what could happen in the House is the House for the capital gains tax could add back in this emergency clause into the bill, which would potentially eliminate the opportunity for a citizen's referendum, which would make it very interesting. So there's still a lot happening with that proposal.
And then the American Rescue Plan funding is heading towards the state. How do you guess that will be used? And then what's the legislature's role with deciding on how the funding will be dispersed?
We're still trying to figure that out. It was a very significant COVID relief package, as you mentioned. It's $1.9 trillion by the federal government. And frankly, I'm eager to get the relief to people, but I just don't know where the federal government is coming up with its money. The state balances its budget every 2 years, but the federal government, they haven't balanced their budget since the Clinton administration. So, but while I'm excited about the revenue and I know there's a lot of need, you know, I'm just kind of scratching my head and wondering if we're going to be borrowing from China to do all this. But on the state side, those dollars do flow through the state. There's approximately $7 billion for the state of Washington. We have to figure out how many of those dollars have strict funding formulas for municipalities and educational entities and cities, counties, and all these other forms of government, because we may not have as much flexibility as we'd want to on all those dollars. But like the other federal stimulus packages, there is a percentage that the states can retain and then appropriate later. And if that's the case, there could be, I'd say, up to $1 or $2 billion potentially that the state could utilize for its own budget. So that'll be interesting, and we're still trying to sort all that out.
And now that we're on the back half of the session, how are things going in terms of the budget, and what's the future of the release of these three major budgets that go for the next biennium?
Yeah, so there are three budgets in the state. The operating budget, which is about currently a $54 billion two-year budget. The transportation budget, which is about $10 billion. And then the capital budget, which is the smallest one at $5 billion, but not in any way insignificant. So what happens is, now that the cutoff's done, as we get into the back nine, as you had mentioned, basically the budgets are going to start being released. And they're budget proposals. So the Senate, I believe on March 25th, so probably next week, will be issuing its operating budget proposal. And it has to come through the committee process and come to the floor. The transportation budget in the Senate, same thing. And actually, I'm serving on the transportation committee in the Senate, so I'll get a chance to vote on that in committee before it comes to the full body. And then also the capital budget. The House will do the same thing. And in the end, both the House and the Senate need to agree on the same document, the same budget proposal for each of the three budgets. And then also the governor's office weighs in, and they need to agree. So there's this little triangulation that goes on in the next coming weeks so that we can all agree on the same document, and the governor will sign off on it. Hopefully we could do all that by the end of session. Normally it wouldn't be a problem, but with all this influx of federal dollars, some people were kind of speculating that we might not be able to really thoughtfully appropriate all this funding in the budget with so much extra revenue that we weren't anticipating. But hopefully that's not the case, and I'm sure the budget writers will either put together the budget bills and have a trailer bill for the federal stimulus dollars, or do it all together before the end of session in one budget.
All right, Brad. Thanks so much. As always, it's a pleasure to talk with you. We'll talk to you again next Thursday.
Likewise. Thank you both so much.